How many of you, that's your heart this morning, you pledge allegiance to love? Amen. Right on. And this new... Is that working? Hello? Test? Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, it's good to be back from a week off. I forgot how to use the mic. And it's good to be back here. I want to thank the... Can you hear me okay? I'm doing all right? Where's this thing? There we go. How am I doing? Is that good? We had a good week off, but I want to thank the staff for just taking care of things while we were away. I mean, Pastor Peter spoke to you last week, and I know from a lot of you that it was the Word of God. It was tremendous, and I thank you, Pastor Peter, and for the words you gave last week from the Word of God. We began this new year with a renewed sense of commitment and consistency to the Word of God. And today, we need to look at more of what we need in 2009, because a lot of us are wandering aimlessly with our New Year's resolutions. We tend to put together a New Year's resolution that lasts for maybe a month. Maybe, if you're lucky. Well, I'm encouraging you that while we walk through this more of what we need in 2009, that you will establish greater resolutions in your life. Can you hear me okay? Got a solve? Feedback? That's my stomach. Just so you know, I didn't have breakfast. It's my stomach. I got this on right though, right? Okay, good. Well, we've all heard the story about the family driving home from church on one Sunday. And Dad was fussing about the sermon being too long and the mic not working properly. And Mom said that she thought that the organist played a little too loudly during the second hymn. And Sis, a music major in college, she thought that the soloist sang about a half a note off key during most of her song. And Grandma said she couldn't hear very well since they were sitting toward the back of the sanctuary. And as well, you couldn't hear because the pastor didn't have his mic positioned properly. There we go. You know, it's great because they're motioning like... You know, I feel like they're umping and I'm playing baseball, ready to throw the pitch. So as they pulled into the driveway, this family, little Will, who had listened to all of this, he started to think about how hard it was to see with that person with a large hat who sat in front of him. And then as he paused, he nudged his dad in the car and he said, "Dad," he said... "You still got to admit, it was a pretty good show for a dollar." Ouch. Well, to more than what we'd like to admit, most of it, I mean, we need to at first admit that going to church has become much like watching a show. The better it is, the more it is enjoyed, but when it's not well liked, grumbling and complaining ensue. Yet if we wanted to bottom line it, admit it, the admission price is still pretty hard to beat. I want you to just clear your thoughts this morning. And I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 as we look at what we need in 2009. Hebrews chapter 10, please. More of what we need in 2009. I think we're getting this figured out. Well, in 2009, if you want to look at this, Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 23. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope," boy, we need hope, "to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God add his blessing to his word. In 2009, what we need more of is solid strength. Solid strength. Most of us, I think, more than ever, the way our situation is in Canada right now, the way economically we're being told, media-wise and government-wise, we're being told that economically we're not doing well. Saskatchewan, they're saying, is about 20 years behind, so we're doing okay. But in 2009, we need solid strength. See, I have to tell you about my experience when I was young, when I was little, which wasn't too long ago. As a child, I enjoyed going to visit Grandma and Grandpa. How many of you love going visiting your Grandma and Grandpa? Come on. The rest of you must think it's boring or something. You know? Well, I was going to... I really don't think it was enjoying the car ride, because my older brother, he always got... he always got to make the rules, because it was just him and I sharing the back seat. And he always got the only Archie comic book that we got to share. And you know, he must have read slowly, because I never got one chance to read that on the way to Grandma and Grandpa's. He would always be flipping through and, you know, reading it slowly. So I don't think it was the travel to there. I think it was meeting maybe my cousins, but then I thought, no, it can't be, because we play hide-and-go-seek, and I was the smallest. And so I didn't know where to hide, so I'd stand by the broom closet, you know. They'd always find me. But you know what it was that I really enjoyed traveling to Grandma and Grandpa's? Because I knew I was going to see the little church that stood tall in their community in Tribune, Saskatchewan. And that church fascinated me. I mean, I always saw people come and go in that church. And we gather in that church for a family reunion or wedding of a cousin or a funeral of a family member. And what I saw made me aware of something powerful. It was something I'd never seen before. People, all different people, would get into that same room, and they'd all face the same way, and they'd all sing songs off key, and they'd talk to one another, and they'd find strength in that room to make it through the week. It was like they drew strength from one another. Now, I began to understand that quote, that there's strength in numbers, when I saw what happened in that community. Because that little church, it housed so many memories for me. And even now, when we travel through the United States, and we'll go through Tribune, I'll deviate and go through Tribune. And, you know, there's no houses there. My grandma and grandpa's house gone. You know, I think a little house I painted is now rubble, you know. And the trees have been removed. But that little church, it still stands tall in that community. Everything else is disappearing, but that church is still standing tall. It's strong. That's the church. Amen? Dr. Tony Campolo said it well when he said, an important task of the church is to bless and build us up emotionally and spiritually. We are the church. We must make it into a body of believers that nurtures each of its members into the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's the church. It's to be a place where we gather together to empower one another. Jesus himself is the one who ordained, he commissioned the church. He knows what's best for us. Christ knew that we would walk through dark valleys. Christ knew that we would find it difficult to press on. Christ knew that believers would become discouraged. They may not even want to be around one another. Christ knew that believers would become doubters at times. And so what he did is he created the church. Because what Christ did in Matthew 16, he looked at Simon Peter and he said to Peter, he said, Peter, upon this rock, a sure foundation, upon this rock, which will be hard to blast and take away, I will build my church. Aren't you glad he said that? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many of you here ever watched a nature documentary on TV? A few of you. Have you ever watched lions in those shows where they hunt, you know? They crouch down, you know? It's kind of like watching those on Boxing Day, you know? They're ready, you know? Ready to pounce. They sit. These lions, they sit and they watch the herd of gazelles. They just sit there and they wait. Which gazelle does the lion go after? The lion waits for the one gazelle that strays away from the herd and goes on his own. That's how the lion works his hunting. He just waits. And he waits to pretty soon that gazelle's alone. That's what Satan does. Satan, the enemy of the church, is not far from that hunting tactic. In fact, the Bible says he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He sits and he waits till at one moment the gazelle, the disciple of Christ, gets away from the church. And then he pounces. And he starts feeding and feeding on that disciple. You see, there's strength in the church. Isaiah 4 verse 5 said, "The Lord will cover the whole city and its meeting places with a thick cloud each day and with a flaming fire each night. God's own glory will be like a huge tent that covers everything. It will provide shade from the heat of the sun and a place of shelter and protection from storms and rain." The gathering together helps us keep that strength. The church. I mean, Christ is the head of the church. He is our defender. He is our protector. There's nothing that Christ does not do that is not for our benefit. It's the place Christ has instructed and instituted. Christ established a place of strength called the church. Because Christ knew we'd find it difficult in this world. Christ knows that each day it can bring heartache, it can bring frustration, it can bring depression, it can bring sadness, it can bring overwhelming turmoil. A day can bring tragedy. There's nothing more necessary than the gathering together to promote the strength that we need for the rest of the week. We're people just like us. We gather to worship the head, Jesus Christ, renew our passion together so that we can face the world once again. That's why I love the church. Message Bible puts this verse. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He that is God always keeps his word. Did you know that's interesting to know? The early Christians had so many things in common with one another. I mean, they were together. They not like a bag of marbles, but like a cluster of grapes. Persecution pushed them together. They found strength when they were together. They knew that together they could make it. Now, isn't it nice to know that when you're struggling, when your life is in turmoil, that you can come to a place where others will give you the strength to continue? That's the church. Now, there are moments, seriously, there are moments where I've wondered whether I could make it. There are those moments when I simply thought, you know, I've had it with the church. I don't need the church anymore. But then I come and I gather together and it draws me closer to the presence of the one who I require to get me through. That's the strength. Well, in 2009, we need solid strength, but we also need fond fellowship. Fellowship means affiliation, it means companionship, it means partnership. God's word is so clear. We are in a partnership together for the sake of the gospel of Christ. We need one another. We need one another to pray for each other. We need to build one another. We need to encourage one another. It was so great having Peter and Diane share this morning because they asked you to pray. See, that's the church. Pray. Encourage one another. You know, it's so exciting to have the Christian radio station meeting tomorrow night here because you can come, you can encourage what those who have established this and got this going. You can encourage them. this is what we're created for. We weren't created for isolation. We were created on purpose to gather for purpose. I need a sip. I was on holidays last week. We we went to Edmonton, and our friends, he's an associate pastor in a small church just outside of Edmonton, and so we went to church with them last Sunday, and we gathered in their church, and it's a smaller body, a smaller group, and the pastor, senior pastor, got up, and he said, so welcome everyone this morning. I've been on a holiday, and it's good to be back, and it's wonderful to be around you all, and all of a sudden, over in this corner, this young lady, she said, you missed my 16th birthday. And he said, yeah, sorry. And he turned all red. And he said, sorry, I missed your 16th birthday. And she said, yeah, but you know, I'm having my party this afternoon, so you can come. I saved it just for you. So you know where that pastor was at 4 o'clock last Sunday afternoon. He either was faking the flu or he was at a birthday party. Sorry, I was... you're going to think I do that if I... You know, I just realized that. You're going to think I fake the flu. I don't fake the flu. I got so much else wrong with me, I don't need to fake the flu. The church is just so varied. It's so diverse. Because I noticed as they were coming in, they're a group of people that were all different, but coming together like a big wedding reception. Enjoying one another. That's what this is. You know, we drove away from there while we enjoyed ourselves. We said, boy, it's just not like home. We sure miss being at home. And, you know, I know what we missed. We missed this. We missed this. This is what we missed. See, church isn't where you meet. Church isn't a building. Church is what you do. It's who you are. Church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ. Let's not go to church. Let's be the church. Amen? The church is a community of believers who demonstrate genuine concern for each other and for others as well. I like what Archibald William Temple said. He said, the church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Wow. We're called to come together, love one another. We're to wake up that love that somehow got lost during the week. We're to wake up that urge and necessity to minister together, to do what God created us to do, to fulfill the purpose God created us for. I love the story about church service on Sunday morning. Young boy afterwards suddenly announced to his mother on the way home. He said, Mom, I've decided to become a minister when I grow up. She said, well, that's okay with us. But what made you decide that? Well, said little boy, I have to go to church on Sunday anyway. I figure it'll be more fun to stand up and yell than to sit and listen. It's not one person in this room who has not been created by God for something. We come together to weep when someone hurts, to care when someone requires it, to share our very lives with one another. We're not to come together to tear one another apart. I'll tell you right now, the world does that already very well for us. We're not to come together and nitpick and complain. We are to stir up love and good works. The early Christians, the early church, had a closeness of fellowship that's rarely found today. They were continually devoting themselves to. Devoting themselves to fellowship. Not just teaching, not just the Lord's table, and not just prayer, but fellowship together. And you could walk through the Bible and you could find areas where Christians came together. We could journey further in Hebrews. It talks about sharing together the gospel. Hebrews 13, it refers to giving of our money as an expression of fellowship. When we truly fellowship, we give. When we give to the needs of the assembly, we participate in fellowship. Giving of yourself is fellowship. One of the biblical names of the church is the bride of Christ. And I've come to understand this, and I'm starting to grab a hold of this, and I'm going to write a paper, do something on it. But the bride of Christ, how we treat the bride of Christ, the church, is how we treat those whom we're in a relationship with. So if we're very critical of the church, the bride of Christ, we're very critical of those around us. If we're loving and we can hardly wait to get there and we're overjoyed about being in the bride of Christ, then we enjoy the relationships that we have. I really do believe there's a correlation there. See, in every occasion in the New Testament records a person giving his heart to Jesus, that person is immediately added to the fellowship of the church. And the Apostle Paul, he speaks about all the one another's, how Christians willingly reached out, put their arms around each other. They enfold themselves in one another's lives. Isn't that the kind of place that you want to be part of? But unfortunately, many have avoided or found ways to avoid the kind of church that Jesus came to create. Now, if you think about it, everybody has a good excuse for not attending. I mean, if you take those excuses and apply them to other things we do, like, let's say, eating. Okay, let's put down eating. It might be like this. I don't eat anymore because I was forced to eat as a child. People who eat all the time are hypocrites. They aren't really hungry. There are so many different kinds of food, I can't decide what to eat. I used to eat, but I got bored and stopped. I only eat on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. None of my friends will eat with me. I'll start eating when I get older. I don't really have time to eat. Oh. I don't believe that eating does anybody any good. It's just a crutch. It's my favorite. Restaurants and grocery stores are only after your money. I'm not going to eat. See? Attending church, I got to tell you, this is what you need in 2009. You need the fellowship of the church. The coming together so that you can make it from week to week. The church is to be a place where you can be real and you can hurt and you can share and you can feel and you can discuss and you can lament and you can wail and you can rejoice and you can enjoy and you can love and you can be loved for who you are. Not what someone else wants you to be. Don't be anything else other than what God created you to be. That's what we need in 2009. 2009, we need solid strength. We need fond fellowship. But we also need to glorify God. Wow. You knew I was going to come to this point. Because the primary purpose of the church is to glorify God. The words in Hebrews continue, not avoiding worshiping together as some are in the habit of doing, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Wow. I'm excited. Christ is coming back. You excited? I mean, there have been those days where I wondered, why am I part of the church? Church doesn't have anything for me. Why should I go to church? All that happened is my child's going to need a drink, require a washroom break, fast in the back room. Why am I at church? My back's going to hurt from those hard pews. Service might be longer than normal. Likely boring. My roast will burn. What'll I eat for lunch? You know? Nobody talks to me, even though I don't talk to them. What if I don't get my spot that I reserved a long time ago? I always sit in that one. What if that person that I have a problem with starts talking to me? What do I do then? Do I go the other way? Why do I go to church? I go to church to glorify God. Together. That's why we have been left on this planet. You think of it. God graciously allows breath in our lungs. A heart that beats over 100,000 times a day. A sufficient mental, and physical strength to carry on. And in the process of our earthly existence, His most primary purpose for our lives is not that we become famous, not that we accumulate a pile of stuff or money, or become a powerful people pusher. We exist to bring His name glory. And in the process, He permits us a little measure of success, a few joys, benefits for our labor. But first and foremost, the church, the bride of Christ, is for us to gather together as a band of people, discovering renewed strength as we glorify our God. What a privilege! And we need to do it together. You see, I used to believe, a long time ago, I used to think that God was just God. That was it. And I thought, boy, He must be a lonely God. This is just Him. It's just God. That's it. Until I started learning, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Triune God. Three. With one purpose. Three in one. See, God is created with unity and fellowship in mind. And that's why we need the church. See, I encourage you from this day forward, don't allow yourself to forget the importance of what God has instituted. Quit the put-downs. Stop the complaints. Because the church is not for you. The church is all about God. The church is His bride. You are the bride of Christ. Say, I'm the bride of Christ. I am the bride of Christ. Say it again. I am the bride of Christ. And I tell you, nobody's going to love you better than Jesus. No one. I remember my first church I pastored, I had the youth group from 1920. It's a great group. I mean, we enjoyed our moments together. I mean, one Sunday, a young single mom walked through the door, that little church. And as the people were leaving that Sunday, I just kind of encouraged a few of the people. I said, you know, make sure you go say hi to them. You know, just welcome that mother and her children. Go over there. You know. I tell you, those seniors, they were like pit bulls. Oh, it's almost overkill, that poor young mom. I mean, so Joan and my wife, and we visited her that week, and she said, you know, this is what she said. These were her words. Well, I'm looking for a place where my kids will have something for them. You know, a program just for them. You don't have anything like that. You see? You see what she was thinking the church was? So I asked her a question. I said, you know, what do you think God wants for you? And then she said, you mean I have to think about what God wants? And I said, well, I understand your need to find something for your children. Possibly you're forgetting all the grandmas and grandpas your children met this past Sunday morning. You know, she became such a part of that church, became involved in the development of the children's programs, that she started ministering. I mean, there was like at least 20 kids who would come on a Wednesday night for Kids Club because of what she would do. See what happens when we understand what church is all about? Church is the place where we glorify God, not destroy it. Because the world's trying already. The world does that well. The church is that place where we come together in unity. Psalm 133 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Very diverse group with one single commitment to glorify God only. You talk about a place that is unified with purpose. That's the church. And that's the place I want to be a part of. Especially when I look at our world today. I want to be a part of this so I can make it through this next week. That's the church. I want to conclude with such a great statement. It's a verse found in Ephesians chapter 3. It reads this. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to ask Jeremy to come and start playing while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just start playing our last song. When we began this morning, I hope you took charge of your thoughts. Because I'd like you to just think about what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you several hard questions. The first question is, where do I really stand regarding the church, the bride of Christ? Now remember, it's the bride of Christ. Where do I really stand regarding the church? Do I support the church in speech? Do I support the church in prayer? Do I see the utmost importance of the church to God? This morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, are you willing today, as we embark on a new year, 2009, are you willing today to commit to renewing your passion once again to be where God wants you to be? Do you understand that God welcomes you into His house, the church? That He wants you to be here together, unified in His Spirit with His purpose? Because I'll tell you, in these uncertain times, more than ever, the church is the only sure foundation that you will ever find in this world. And it's definitely what we need in 2009. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're willing to say today, I'm going to renew my passion. I'm going to renew my passion once again to be where God wants me to be. Would you just stand while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? And keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Just stand up where you're seated. Stand up. Lord bless you. Just stand up. You're saying, I'm going to renew my passion once again to be where God wants me to be. Just stand. Just stand up. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all those who are standing. God sees you. God sees you. If you're saying, maybe you know and realize that God wants you to be unified in His Spirit with His purpose in mind. Are you willing today to commit to the things of God, to the bride of Christ, and that you'll support the church in speech and in prayer? Now, I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the bride of Christ universal. I mean, praying for the church, speaking well of it in your speech and in prayer. If you are, just stand up. Stand up. Lord bless you. Just stand up. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Just stand. Lord bless you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, will you all stand, please? Just stand up. Those of you who are seated, just stand. I'm going to sing that chorus. It's very familiar. If you don't know it, you can look at the screen. If you do, just keep your eyes closed. It's the family of God. Sing it to Him, will you?
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Are you glad to be part of His family? Sing it with a smiling face. Because you're here in the presence of God, joining together so you can make it through another week. Doesn't that sound good? Can you make it through this next week? With who? With God. You can. So sing it and rejoice to Him. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I'm so glad.